thank you for listening to or watching the Cape Copcast. It is a brand new podcast that the Cape Coral Police Department is launching. I'm Lisa Greenberg. I'm a public affairs officer here at the Cape Coral Police Department.
And I'm Officer Mercedes Simons. I'm actually a police officer here at the Cape Coral Police Department. We've been working on this project for quite a while. We were kind of tasked with the idea of putting together a podcast for the department that not only tells our story, but it can also tackle different issues that we're talking about in the community, you know, different things like traffic, to really just kind of bring light and kind of an inside view into those situations.
For sure. And there are so many unique, interesting people here who are working together to keep our community safer. So just being able to have a platform to highlight those people, to share the work that they're doing, and also educate you, the community, let you know what we're doing, kind of peel back the curtain when it comes to what is happening within the, I'm going to generically say, four walls of the police department. We're really big on transparency, and so I think this is just another way to connect with our community and keep them informed on what we're doing when it comes to keeping them safe.
Right. So today, what are we talking about?
Oh my gosh, this is so exciting. All right. So we wanted to bring in Chief Anthony Sizemore to talk today about traffic enforcement. I think there's a lot of myths that people think is true when it comes to traffic enforcement, how we enforce traffic. We post a lot on social media about these grant-funded operations that we do, and we get a lot of questions from people being like, why don't you guys do this all the time? So I know this is something you hear a lot about too.
Yes, absolutely. First of all, thank you for letting me be here on the Cape Copcast. It's a new venture that we're doing into three-dimensional media to give you a little bit of a deeper dive. The interaction that we have on Facebook, X, Instagram is really great. It's been great for a long time in the two-way conversation, but the limits of it is you don't have the ability to go deeper into the conversation and answer some of those questions, or you guys are tied up answering all these individual good points and valid questions that people have. So we wanted to have a better way to be able to answer that. So that's a long way to say hello, but I'm very excited to be here and to deliver a little bit more information, or hopefully a lot of information, that our really unique, engaged residents can find value.
Absolutely. And it's important information to get out there, especially when it comes to these traffic operations, because we do want people to know we're always monitoring traffic, whether it's a grant-funded operation, whether it's a typical Tuesday on the road. Yes. So I think it's good to kind of break that fourth wall and let people know what we're doing.
Sure. We try to post as much as of our activity that we're doing in the community as we can, but the absence of a post does not mean the absence of activity, mm-hmm. meaning we don't post everything that we do. So if we're not posting about it, doesn't mean we're not doing it. Does that make sense?
Definitely. I was a part of a lot of the grant-funded traffic operations back when I was patrolling more on the road, and they were always really successful. We would always get a lot of traffic stops just based on red lights alone. We'd set up at kind of a red light and figure out, you know, have one person call it out, and then the rest of us go get our traffic stop. Because I know a lot of people are complaining consistently about red lights, red light violations. And that's one thing that, especially the grant-funded operations, we can really group together and tackle that head on.
Absolutely. And we might as well just dive right into the grant-funded question that we get all the time. The grant-funded operation is an augmentation or an extra layer of operations that we're already doing, right? That's one of the main questions that we have. Why does it take grant-funded operations for you to go do traffic? That is inaccurate. That is not the only time we do it. That is another layer on top of what we're already doing. So I'm going to kind of build a cake of traffic for you.
All right. I love it.
So the base layer is our patrol bureau. So when you watch television shows like Cops or any type of movie, or when you think in your mind of the police, generally the first thing that comes to mind are officers out on the street. They do a roll call where they're all together and they get crime trends updated. They know what's going on in their response areas. They're able to share information, and the supervisors will provide them with their daily or nightly update. And then they go out onto the street. And we don't take a shotgun approach. It's very intelligence-led. There's a lot of follow-up activity. And we're doing the job with the lights turned on instead of fumbling around in the dark just looking for things. It was very data-driven, very intelligence-led. Traffic is one of those duties. So when you think of the police, like I was talking about before, on this base layer, you call the non-emergency number, you call 911, you expect an officer to come. Well, they come from our patrol bureau, and our city is divided up systematically, and officers are assigned to a response area, and they patrol that beat, right? That zone, we call it. In that zone, you are responding to resident-driven calls for service. But that's not all day or all night. In your time where you're not dedicated to that, you may have a burglary that you investigated earlier that was a call-driven or a resident 911 call-driven report. And when you're not directly interacting with them, you're knocking on doors, doing a canvas, maybe you get information, you have evidence to go bring up to our evidence depot and put in, and you're doing follow-up activity. That's part of it. The other part is proactive patrol. If you've got a burglary problem or a theft problem or any type of quality of life issue that you're aware of in your area that you become familiar with from having continuity working there, you'll proactively patrol for all of those. And one of those proactive functions or responsibilities is traffic enforcement. If you're in a residential area that a lot of kids like to play, it just by the layout of it, because it's a dangerous curve or there's been accidents that have happened there in the past, that will be one of your proactive duties. We also have, for lack of a better word, a spreadsheet. It's much more complex than that, but for the listeners here, we have a spreadsheet of all of our complaints that we take in. We find them on our own, but we also are very responsive to what you have. So if you call in and make a complaint, I live on Cultural Park Boulevard, and they're speeding up and down. There's school bus stops there. It's 45 miles an hour, and I'm telling you, people are doing 90 if they're doing 10. We go out there and we'll proactively patrol that. That is the base layer of the cake. Patrol is doing that, okay? The second layer of the cake that you'll put on top. So you can't have the second layer without the first layer. The first layer stays there. That's omnipresent.
Right.
So our patrol officers are out 24/7. Now, there are days when the calls for service demand is very high, that the committed time relegates that proactive activity lower. Does that make sense? So it's a teeter-totter. The more calls for service you get, the lower your availability to do proactive. Mm-hmm. And on a lighter day for calls for service, your ability to be able to do proactive enforcement rises. But that fluctuates based on the day and time and what's happening in the world. But that's always there. The second layer is our Special Operations Bureau. So Patrol Bureau, Special Operations Bureau. That's all the fun stuff. Boats, dogs, planes, drones, traffic cars, motorcycles, all the cool stuff, right? That is where our traffic unit, dedicated traffic officers, reside. And they are out there as well. So on top of, or an augmentation, or an addition or an enhancement to our regular, already doing traffic enforcement, doesn't stop. None of those duties stop. This gets layered on top. Okay. And they are split up into different niche functions, if you will. We have a motorcycle unit that is strictly for speeding, aggressive driving, red light running, moving violations, just the stuff that drives you nuts. That's what they do. Their job is to go attack that. We also have an aggressive driving unit that are in cars that specifically target aggressive driving, changing lanes in and out, speeding, cutting people off, running red lights, all the stuff that you would associate with aggressive driving. That is their sole focus. We also have DUI enforcement, which, you guessed it, they focus on DUI. Now, you don't just see a car with a light on top pointing DUI. They're usually associated with aggressive driving or other signs that would show you that they're impaired. So you can do traffic stops and they're not impaired. They're just terrible at it, right? So right. You address that. You can educate. You can enforce. Education is a warning. Hey, what the heck is going on? All the way up to, here's a citation for the poor driving behavior that you're exhibiting on the roads, making everybody less safe. And then if they are in fact exhibiting signs of impairment, then a DUI would ensue, right? So that's our traffic unit. That's on top. That's our second layer. While this is still happening on the base layer, this is happening on the second layer. But we're a big city. We have a lot of traffic issues. We need a bigger cake, right? So the third layer is, how can we get more out of this cake? How do we make the two layers that we have, which are our primary layers, bigger? You have to hire more people. We are doing that, right? The city is growing much faster than we are able to grow. And that's actually not a bad thing. It's challenging. But if we were to change our standards or lower our standards just to meet that growth need, the end result would not be desirable. You'd have people that really didn't deserve to work here to protect you or deliver the service that you want. That's mm-hmm. one of the big things that came out of 2020 after George Floyd was, what kind of standards do we have? We need to have higher national set of standards. We've had those since 1989, being an accredited agency. We have a very high standard. Psychological testing, background investigations. We don't take other people's problems. All the things that people were clamoring for, rightfully so, in a national conversation, we agree. And we've been doing that. The downside of that is that your growth is slowed, but it's worth it because 100%. You get much better people. So to grow those two layers, you have to hire more people, right? So that's recruiting, onboarding, training, and then deployment. The other factor of that is getting financial support from city government. We have that. We have a very teamwork approach with myself and the police department, city management, which is the city manager, the finance director, and ultimately the city council. The city council believes in our vision to be the best. To be the best, you need equipment, assets, people, the right talent, the right background, the right people deployed. This isn't like other cities where you see me in a public feud with the mayor where I need funding and he wants to defund us. None of that exists here. We have the funding, we have the support, and we have the ability to do that. What we're up against is a diminishing amount of people wanting to do police work nationally, but we are not at a crisis level yet. We have people that want to do the job. We have the funding available to hire the people. It's just, if we shut the gates to Cape Coral and didn't onboard a new resident today, within 12 months, we would have everybody that we need and then some. Unfortunately, the gates are wide open. Secret's out. It's a great place to live. Mm-hmm. I can't blame them. They want to come here. And that is outpacing our growth currently. So you better come up with another way to make that cake larger. So what we do is add another layer. So while the base layer is still happening with traffic enforcement every day, every shift, then our traffic unit works day and night and weekdays and weekends. That is still happening. It is not enough. You've said it. I've said it before you thought it. All right. Let's just keep that in mind. I know that. That's my job to know that. So what other way can we make this cake bigger? I can't AI generate officers to come here. I don't have a fight with city leadership to get the fund. I have everything that I need. It's just not happening quick enough, but mm-hmm. the need is still present. So what do? Get frustrated and then say, I'm trying, or do you actually roll your sleeves up and do it? That is where grant funded operations come into play. So I need to get extra people, right? Out of the same amount of people I have. That means having them work when they don't normally work, overtime. Come in on your day off and help us continue this mission, right? That's our other layer. So instead of draining the general fund or your local tax dollars to do that, even though I believe a lot of people would be in support of that, let's find alternative ways to do it. The state of Florida's DOT, Department of Transportation, and the federal NHTSA, the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, has money available for departments who qualify, which we do. And qualification means you take it serious and you aggressively go after things that cause crashes. We will provide funding for you. And that funding comes, if just for your imagination, a big sack with a dollar sign on it, right? Money. And you use that money to pay your staff to come in on their day off. You still have this layer of the cake. You still got the second layer, and then people on their day off can come in and make a third layer. Part of getting those grants, right? There is no such thing as free money. You have to keep detailed records on your enforcement efforts, on the deployment of your people and the results. One of the requirements of a grant is that you publicly address or publicly announce or advertise the results. That's one of the reasons, not the only reason, but one of the reasons that we put out, this was an operation and these were the results. It's a requirement to get the money and to continue to get the money. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, people think we're not doing layer one and layer two. We're only doing layer three. Well, physics will tell you, you can't have a suspended layer of a cake that has to be supported by the other two. And that's the same way our traffic units or our traffic enforcement details work. Not only do we do that, there's still room for traffic enforcement because every day brings more drivers and more aggressive conditions. So we need to stay on top of it. So I also dip into the general fund for overtime to even augment that. And the peak times for driving are Monday through Friday commuting times. I pay overtime on top of all three layers to put a nice little layer on top for overtime to come in and further augment our traffic enforcement operations. And to give you an idea of what the finished product looks like, this is my third year as the chief. I'm in my 27th year at the police department, but my third year as the chief. Every year, we have broken a record for more operations, more grant money obtained to go out and deploy, and overall, more tickets than we have ever done in the history of the agency. Last year, calendar year 2023, was the most traffic citations, moving violations, red light runners, aggressive driving, and operations to get them than we've ever had. Quarter four of last year was the tail end of that. We just wrapped up quarter one. I can't believe the year's going by this fast already.
Right.
But quarter one of 2024, of that record-breaking year last year, we are 78% higher than quarter four of last year, which was a second record-breaking year in a row.
Wow.
We are 78% higher in quarter one.
Jeez.
So that gives you kind of a macro view of traffic enforcement and the philosophy behind it. And hopefully, I've explained, why does it take grant-funded operations for you to go out and do that? It doesn't. It doesn't. We do it anyway. But I think we all agree that that's not enough. So we have to supplement it. We have to look for additional ways to do it. And we do that by applying for state and federal money to pay our own people to go out and do more on their time off. Doesn't eliminate the people that are doing it on their duty day. And then I still went a little bit further and said, we have overtime funding available because it's a life and death issue. I think that's pretty apparent when we have very serious injury crashes and fatalities, sadly, it becomes a life and death issue. That for me is a responsibility to expend overtime to be an even more or an additional layer to do it.
And I think, you know, there are a couple of things that I want to touch on that you said that I think are just important to reiterate. I think part of the miscommunication does come from the fact that because we are required to post the outcomes of the grant-funded operations, people think that that's all we're doing.
Correct.
And maybe that's something now that we're taking this kind of deeper look at this issue and taking the time to explain it, that maybe we can push a little further and let people behind the curtain even more on sure. just a typical day, what it looks like. So that's something I wanted to hit on. And then I think the other thing too, is we do have all of these steps in place, but at the end of the day, we also need the people who are on our roadways to be paying attention, to be not following someone too closely, to not let their emotions get the best of them, right? Like how many times are you sitting at a red light and you're mad because you didn't make that cycle? But the more people that are coming in, the more we're going to see our commutes take longer. That time in the car is going to extend. And if you're going to be in the car more, you might as well do it safely because, you know, you don't want to see these tragic outcomes.
100%. It's tempering expectations or adjusting your expectations, especially for people who have been here a long time. Anybody who works in the police department, and I'm sure you guys have heard me. I do things in groups of three. It's a good way to communicate, and it's very appropriate. The first we talked about, and we will continue to talk about, which is education and enforcement applied by the police department. It's the most visible. It's the most low-hanging fruit that everybody can grab. That's number one. Number two is the roadways, the engineering and enhancement of the infrastructure. That is happening. I will tell you that. That is happening. But as you can imagine, it is the longest, slowest to develop because it's about designing and securing funding and executing a construction project. And also, if you think we're slow to keep up with growth, infrastructure improvements are the same. But there are traffic lights in the North Cape that are coming to kind of mirror what we have in the South Cape. So you're not so reliant on four-way stops, et cetera. There's road widening. Traffic engineers are much better at explaining this, but I will just call it the infrastructure improvement. So you have traffic education and enforcement by the police department. You have infrastructure improvements by the city and the county who work together. And then the third is exactly what you just said. It's driver individual responsibility. And it takes all of us, right? That's a good campaign. It takes all of us, Cape Coral. I've lived here a long time and I leave the police department and my route is to go out onto Nicholas Parkway, head west, and then I want to turn left or south onto Santa Barbara. When we first moved into this building, that was a pretty quick one light cycle wait. Depending on the time of the day, you get there around 5 o'clock. It may be two. I would be giddy if it was two. Now, it's a minimum of two light cycles. Sometimes it can be three. And the three depends if it's very busy or there's other roadway conditions that make it such. Or that person in front of me has got a really big distance between the others. Okay, I'm never going to argue with safety, but move up a little bit, right? So other people can use the two lanes. Mm-hmm. They're taking the opportunity because you're not supposed to be on your phone while you're driving, and they become so engrossed in it that the light turns green. They haven't gone. They finally go, and we've all been there. Hurry up, look up, look up, look up. They finally look up, and it's just enough for them to get through. And I've already said, I waited through one. I got it. I waited through two. I don't like it anymore, but that's the reality. I am not waiting through a third. And I'm going to go, it's just turned red, right? And I go. That happens all over the city. And I understand it. And it really was exacerbated after Ian when the rhythm of all the traffic lights throughout the county was thrown off. It is back. Our Lee County DOT does a phenomenal job in their control room of synchronizing all of these lights. They're not all back, but you combine people went through that with unparalleled growth. And now what used to be a 15-minute commute is now a 23-minute commute, and I'm just not going to take it anymore, right? And we see that happen. And people who ordinarily would never take a chance like that, I got things to do, my kid's late for drop-off, or I've got to get home to get dinner because we got to go to the soccer field tonight, or whatever anybody's legit story is, I'm just not going to wait for that third cycle. Or I was on Colonial in Fort Myers, and man, is that busy, and I finally made it over the bridge, and I get into Cape Coral, and a little bit of relaxation because I'm almost home. Let's get home. Are you kidding me? Country Club is about to turn red. Not me, not today. I'm going to go. And then you combine that with somebody who's got the same angst coming the other way that it finally turned green, and you can have some trouble. So that's one example of behavior, is that you need to realize that there are a lot of people here and your commute is going to take longer. As frustrated as you can become, or you have become, you just can't take that chance of running that red light or making up time in between lights by going 15, 20, 25 miles an hour over the speed limit. The roads are engineered and designed a certain way to account for stopping distance based on certain speeds and then people cutting in front of you. And it's just not worth it. So what can you do as an individual is police yourself. Slow down, not ridiculously 15 miles below the speed limit, but drive the speed limit. And if you're coming up to a red light, the average wait time at a red light can be anywhere from 30 seconds to 3 minutes, give or take. Don't quote me on that. But if you look at what could happen if you're in a hospital bed or your loved one is hurt or your precious sweet ride that you have is shredded, man, if I could just wait 3 minutes and not have all this happen, you'd gladly take that trade. So that's the third part of it, is individual responsibility, that we're asking for that help.
Right, for sure. And I think another thing, you talked about kind of that pressure to get to where you need to be, right? I feel like we're all so busy. We're all rush, 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 rush. There's also the phone issue. I mean, I got a text from my boyfriend today when he got to work that said, I watched someone on Daniels from 6 Mile all the way down to 75 on their phone while they're driving. You know, this is a big problem. We have tiny computers in our hands that we're constantly connected to, whether you're getting a text, whether you're scrolling social media. People just need to put the phone down.
Right. It can wait. Whatever it is, it can wait. It's a big adjustment, especially if you've been taking chances in doing it, and we all have. But at the end of the day, it is not that important for 15 minutes or 20 minutes or even an hour, if that's what it takes. But most of your intercity driving are quick trips. It really can wait. Or utilize a hands-free to talk. That's still permitted. But to actually scroll social media or answer an email, it's not worth it. I think it's pretty clear.
Absolutely. Yeah. When you take into account all the things that could happen just to send that text or like that post on Instagram.
Right. Or even it could be a big business deal that mm-hmm. you're working on, and you really got to get, if it's that big of a business deal, find a parking lot, pull over, or wait a few minutes till you get where you're going. And then your mind will be clear, because not only are you distracted in your driving, but your posts, your email response, or what you're talking about is divided as well. So you're probably hurting your business or your brand, if that's what you're doing. You're failing on both ends. The driving suffers, but also the quality of what you're trying to do on your phone is bad too. Maybe that'll motivate people.
Yeah,
more,
right.
More than the driving.
For sure.
Right. And I think we see kind of the outcome of everyone becoming frustrated with the increased amount of traffic, the increased amount of people. And obviously that's something that you've addressed that we're actively working on. And I think it's really important to continue with what we're doing. Because I know, especially for the overtime grants, when I would work them, we could continually make traffic stop after traffic stop. Everyone on the team did. And it was just a crazy number to look at the end of the day of just maybe 8 of us and how many traffic stops that we got and moving violations, red light violations, that was just egregious. It's something that we're actively working on. I think just the amount of THIs alone, THIs is a traffic homicide investigation.
Ask,
sorry.
What's a THI?
We, in police work, we have so many acronyms, but I think it's really important just at the end of the day to be cognizant of what you're doing in your own car. It's really easy, especially, we're going to address Facebook comments later, but I think it's really important to take accountability for your own driving. And then, you know, obviously everybody wants to come home to their family at the end of the day, and you play a big part in that. We all do.
That's the commonality that we all share, whoever that family may be or whoever's important to you. They are counting on you to take that personal responsibility, and you're counting on us to hold other people accountable. And we're all working together with our city and county leaders and transportation leaders to address the growth that we're experiencing. And one of the things that the city of Cape Coral is doing, we are a quadrant laid out community, southeast, southwest, northeast, northwest, and everything used to center around Southeast Cape, right? That's the downtown entertainment area. It's still a very destination-oriented place to go. But what we're trying to do with development is have smart development, where each one of the quadrants is a little bit more independent. So it will hopefully reduce cross-city trips that you have to make. They're shopping in every district, and they're trying to get medical facilities and all of the things that you would do on a normal cross-town drive to limit the necessity to do that. Now, if you work in a certain place, you have to go. There's trips, obviously, that you have to make, but every little bit counts to make each quadrant independent where you won't have to do that. That's our new staffing deployment model, matches that to be in line with the city's goals. But yeah, you're exactly right. There's a lot going on out there. There's a lot behind the scenes or behind the curtain, as you mentioned, that's going into the solution. But one of those big components of the solution is all of us.
Absolutely. And if you're not going to do it for yourself, do it for your loved one. There's just so many ways to prevent this story from having a bad ending. So I think that's key. It's funny because a lot of our conversation has already kind of answered a lot of the questions that we get on Facebook, but we figured we could also go through some of the comments that we see a lot on the Facebook page. Of course, maybe add a little humor in as well. You know how people can be. They're excited to chat with us on Facebook. I'm embarrassed to admit that I can't read that from here, Mercedes. So you might have to read it. Okay, now I can see. These eyes are getting old. All right, so we do have a question. This is something you kind of touched on, but someone commented saying we shouldn't have these special funds to hold something like this, and we don't. I mean, they're an addition to. And I think that cake is really painting the key picture, but again, this is something that we always do. The special funds are just that extra layer.
Right, and hopefully now that you know the entirety of the picture, you would be on board. And I believe we're doing what you would expect, right? And that's the goal of the police department. It's right in our vision, mission, and value, right? The vision is to be the best. And our mission is to partner with our community, partner with our residents to make it safe for all. Now, I kind of butchered that, but that's essentially what it is. We work with you, right? And we want to meet those expectations. So to work with you or to have you want to work with us, there are certain community expectations. And in Cape Coral, I'm proud to say that those expectations are very high. We have an educated community. We have a community that's proud of being safe and proud of living here. And we want to meet and exceed those expectations. And in my view, you expect us to find ways to enhance and be better and to achieve our vision to be the best. So we have people doing traffic every day. Doesn't stop. We even have the specialized unit to help them. They don't take off now that they're here. They both work together. And then the grant-funded operations are just one more layer that you expect us to do to find more and to do more and to deliver more for you. And that's what those are. So I think by hearing all of this, it may change some opinions that why don't they do this every day? Well, this being traffic enforcement is done every day. What we're doing with those enhancements through grant-funded operations is doing this and then some.
For sure.
Yeah, I think especially with staffing, I think we've been really innovative with the way that we've handled the different traffic complaints. We're always willing to take traffic complaints if people call the non-emergency line and they say, hey, I want this specific area patrolled. That's definitely an option for people to have as well. I know a lot of people, they think people are speeding in their neighborhood. You have to let us know so that we can tackle that. It's not just something that we magically know that there's issues going on in your neighborhood too. So I think that's important to address.
That's part of that partnership, right? Partnership is an open dialogue. Speaking of open dialogue.
All right. This one says, about freaking time. It's like Mad Max on these freaking roads.
I love the comment. I love the passion. That's part of that partnership. About freaking time. I'd say back in November of 2020, when I assumed this position and we started doing this, that'd be the right time to say about freaking time. But we're 3 years into it, so we have been doing it. Mad Max, we have better paving than Thunderdome.
True that. And this was also in response to us posting the results of a grant-funded operation. And I even had this question from a journalist. She asked if after a particular crash, there's going to be more officers patrolling that area. And I explained that there's always officers who are patrolling that area. Officers who are assigned to that area are going to be patrolling it between calls. But the fact of the matter is, when we see an area that has the higher amount of crashes, it's typically because it's seeing a higher amount of people. That's so usually the first factor to blame when you see a particular road like Del Prado having more crashes. Well, it's one of the busiest roads in the Cape.
Right. It's the busiest road. It's got the most amount of cars. It's got the most amount of businesses and traffic lights. And there's a lot going on. It's a city within a city on Del Prado.
The next one says, why do we need extra funding for them to do their job on a daily basis? Don't get me wrong. I'm glad they're doing it, but it just seems like something that should be enforced every day and not just once in a while. Also, if we are the 12th most dangerous, who is worse than us?
Well, 11 different places.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. 11 different places. I don't know who's worse. I'm solely focused on us. I think we address that. It isn't something that takes the place of our default setting, which is going out and doing that. Could we always do more? Sure. But we don't have the option to go, all right, today is Friday, so it's traffic enforcement Friday, so please hold all of your other police calls until tomorrow. We just don't have that ability. So we're doing all things all the time. We never shut that off. So I think, again, now that you understand, whoever posted that, that this isn't in place of, it's in support of, it may give you some comfort.
Absolutely. And I think something that you pointed out that is important is that people do realize that you can't just pull officers out of thin air. So you do have to get creative. It's not like there are people banging down the door here at the police station every day being like, I want to be a police officer right now and I'm a perfect candidate.
Even if they did, that person wouldn't be deployed on the street for many, many months because of the background, the vetting, the training, the field training. We don't just give people the car, the gun, the badge, the authority without making sure that they're ready to handle that. So even if that person, which they do show up, they're a little nicer than that, but they do show up ready to do the job, we have to make sure that they're ready. So there is a lead time before we get them out.
Yeah.
100%.
Absolutely. I think you're going to like this one. So someone wrote in saying, presence all over the city is a problem. I can travel clear across Cape Coral and not pass a single cop either way, but you pull across the bridge into Fort Myers and can't even make it to Colonial and 41 without passing one.
Okay. I'd like to hook them up with the other poster who said they drive by police all day, every day, and we're doing nothing. So maybe.
Or speeding.
Right.
Or whatever it may be.
I do understand. It depends on your route. People are creatures of habit, and they travel the same route. By and large, I go to this Publix. I drop my kids off at this school. I go to this place for work. And it may be a route where, or the time of day where you just don't see them. As far as like the city of Fort Myers, at one point, they've annexed a lot, but they had a smaller footprint. We're the second largest land size city in Florida. We're 120 square miles, 3,000 miles of laned roads. There's a good chance you might not see us, but there is a real good chance that you will, because I also get those. Something just popped in my head about why we do the overtime or why we do the grant funded operations. There's been all different types of techniques with this, with different departments. And I belong to professional networking groups with other chiefs. And there's some that do part-time traffic officers. And I even looked at that, and I was pretty close to really diving into a program where we possibly hire some recently retired, still young, still full of the vigor to want to do the job, and hire them part-time just for traffic. The problem with that is that you lose that QC, right? That quality control that we will not compromise on. So how do you do both? Well, the way I do both is we have these grant funded operations, these overtime operations. If you look at them, they're part-time jobs in addition to your full-time job. So I did hire part-time officers to come in and specifically do traffic. I just utilized my own workforce to do it. And the benefit is I didn't have to buy an extra car, an extra motorcycle, extra uniforms, or an extra human being. They're already here. So all of the benefits of deploying a part-time force specifically to do traffic, we're able to do that utilizing our fully vetted full-time people, all of our assets, all of our equipment, and know that the training that they have, and then deploy them. So it's the best of both worlds, really. And where do you get the money to hire these part-time people? Well, we ask the state and the feds to do it, and they do it. And we also contribute based on that overtime, that third layer.
Right. And correct me if I'm wrong, that's kind of a temporary solution anyway. We're hoping to look to the point where hopefully we're hired, we're fully staffed, and then we're able to stop doing as many overtime or grant-funded operations.
Correct.
To make sure that we're hitting everything with patrol itself along with traffic.
A sliding scale, right? So if we had the full complement of officers that we need, then we wouldn't have to do that, right? The base layer of the cake would be very, very big. And then the special operations and dedicated traffic unit would also be very, very big. And it would be enough to satiate or feed everybody and their traffic hunger. but we don't. So we have to use these. The vacancy rate or need is here, and then the availability for that overtime or that augmentation or supplemental work is here. As that starts to dip, our vacancies start to dip, then that need, that gap here would close, right? Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean we would eliminate that. If it's working and the need is still there, then we will keep that. We will always apply. We have a full-time professional grant writer that works at the police department, best in the business, and she secures millions of dollars in grant funding, not just for traffic, but for all kinds of things to fund projects and programs and people and places and things, right? All over the agency. And we will continue to do that. If we are fully staffed and the need is still present, we will apply for grant funding and use our own people to do overtime operations to continually supplement. I can tell you by the growth forecast models for Cape Coral, we will always be chasing fully staffed, right? I ask for more people every budget year. This year coming up, October 1st of 2024, which is technically fiscal year 2025, is no exception. I ask for more people. We continually hire. So as long as people are coming to Cape Coral and we keep getting bigger, I'm going to keep asking for more people. So we will perpetually be in a hiring state and quote unquote understaffed. Understaffed is not a bad word because we are in such a pro-growth state. And state, I mean like state of being, right? Not state of Florida, which is also growing. But if we stopped growing, we would keep hiring and then we would hit that mark, right? But that's not good for the area. It's a great place for people to come and want to develop. And as long as that's happening, our train keeps moving. So it's not always a negative when you hear the police department isn't fully staffed. Well, I keep moving the finish line. That's why we're not fully staffed. But just to give you a clue, I'm 27th year, I think I said, 26 years in, 27th year has begun. We had about 130 when I started. We're 300-something now, 308, 310. If we stayed at that staffing level, we'd be bumping into each other right now. But we had to move that top end line, and I will continue to do that. And I'm committed to do that because that's responsible growth. You have to keep up with it. And when I got the job, I went through a national search process. I think there were over 75 candidates all over the country. It was a lot. And I did that while I was the interim chief. So nice two full-time jobs there. And when I got the job, I was selected by our previous city manager. And he told me in a private conversation, you guys are growing. City's growing and you're growing. And I don't know if you quite grasp the challenge it's going to be for you personally and for your agency to continue to grow. And I worked in professional standards. I was the captain over hiring, training, onboarding, recruiting. I was the deputy chief that had that underneath me. So what are you talking about? I know that. When you sit in this chair, you see it from a different lens. And he was 100% right. It is a full-time job in and of itself to grow and to keep up with all of the challenges of that growth while still maintaining the full-time job of administering the police department. So
yeah,
100%.
Definitely. Just to put a quick plug in there, we're hiring. We actually just recently got approved by City Council that we have a $10,000 hiring bonus. So we're really excited to kind of see what comes out of that, to see if we get more potential people who apply and hopefully a great applicant pool to choose from.
$10,000 hiring bonus and also a $5,000 bonus from the governor for people who relocate from out of state as a law enforcement officer, or if you haven't been in law enforcement before and you want to be brave, be best, be Cape, which is on capecops.com. You'll see that everywhere. You have the potential to earn up to $15,000 in bonuses year one on top of an already pretty lucrative benefit package.
Yeah, I was going to say capecops.com. If y'all are interested, go there.
Tell your friends,
tell your family. And I do want you to know that not all of the Facebook comments are bad. Most of them are good. And most of them are people who are thanking us and they're so sweet. Right. Like,
well, those were good too. They're right. just a, a,
Passion.
A misdirected passion.
Exactly.
Right. And I think it takes educating people too, but hopefully helping people understand kind of where we're coming from will help a little bit with just overall understanding.
Exactly. We do have one woman who said that she appreciates Cape Coral Police Department and says we can't be everywhere all the time. And if citizens stepped up and drove like they were testing for a driver's license, maybe there'd be better outcomes. And I just think that that kind of hits the hammer on what we talked about that personal responsibility.
Who posted that? My mom? Even the people that are passionate and quote unquote have all the answers, they know, everybody knows that personal responsibility in any aspect of life is key to survival. And it's also key to having a good, vibrant community where it's not front of mind all the time. You shouldn't get in your car and be scared to death to be able to drive. And I don't think we're there, but I want people to always have safety in their mind, but it doesn't need to be a panic-stricken experience to drive. If you're taking self-control and taking stock in what you do, that's a good amount of safety on the roadways. And then they always say, watch out for the other guy. That hasn't gone away. When you come up to a red light and you've stopped, thank you for stopping, and then you wait the cycle and then it turns green, don't just drop the phone and mash the gas like it's a green flag at a NASCAR race, right? So you're there, red light turns green, look, like they taught you in driving school, make sure somebody isn't taking that chance, and then go. Little right. things like that, it all adds up. And we all, in that three-legged stool approach of infrastructure improvement, education and enforcement, and personal responsibility, do make a difference.
Absolutely. All right, Chief, is there anything else you can think of that you want to address when it comes to traffic enforcement here in the city?
No, I just appreciate everybody continuing the engagement, continuing the two-way dialogue. I hope that this was helpful. And I'm looking forward to doing more of these about any type of topic that people have, and not just me. I think people get tired of listening to me, but you guys are going to do this show and talk to a lot of different components of the agency to give people a real three-dimensional look at what your police department is doing for you.
Right. I think we definitely have an overall story to tell here to get across as a police department. We're at, 300 police officers and how many professional staff? That's a big department.
100. Yeah. We're 400 people in this building.
Wow.
Working very hard. And we live here too. And we're invested in this community too. And we want it to be safe when we're on duty and when we're off duty. And we want you to have the best experience living in one of the best cities in the United States.
For sure. And for anyone listening, if you have a topic that you are interested in us covering, make sure you reach out to us. We're always on Facebook, of course, or Instagram. We love to hear from our people about different topics that they want addressed, anything that they're interested in learning about as well.
Yeah, definitely. I think feedback, especially as we're starting this, is really important. We're really happy to kind of cover different topics like this, or just sit down with one of our officers. You can get to know them. We can ask them questions. So if you guys have any ideas for stuff, please send those in.
All right, Chief. Thanks for joining us today. We appreciate you. We'll see you next time.
You got it. Take care.
Thank you for listening to the Cape Copcast, where we dive into the heart of the Cape Coral Police Department safety initiatives, community relations, and the insightful stories of different officers that make up our department.
Please like and share our podcast. If you have feedback, you can email capepdpao@capecoral.gov. And remember to follow us on social media. Our handle is @CapePD on all major platforms. Stay safe, stay Cape.